Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take and sit, we appreciate it. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Have I said my name? I can't even remember what I said just now.
Gil Alexander. Gil,
thank you. Thank you. I forgot about that guy. Will Hill standing by. I just want to read some tweets. This is from Jason H11. Nothing like sending out a MASH joke, to which Kelly has no clue, and Gilly says that's even before his time. Am I officially an old fart at 51? I was aware of MASH, but I think it was in reruns when we were kids, wasn't it? Or was it made to look that way? I don't even know. I didn't get it when I was a kid.
Me either.
I didn't get that it was the Korean War, and I didn't get all that stuff.
I mean, geez, I feel like it's still on reruns everywhere, but I don't know.
Chance Copperpot, I do use the live video stream within betting apps on my phone when on the go, but I'd much rather use full-size screens. I talk to a lot of younger gen bettors, and they do everything on the phone, watch and wager. I don't get it.
Yeah, me either. I mean, are we mirroring it to TVs? Like, is that possible? But then I feel like if I was the betting apps, I don't know that I'd want you to have that ability.
This is from Rules for Society. Nick says, Brooklyn Dodgers Ghost of Flatbush is an HBO documentary narrated by Liv Schreiber. It's phenomenal and has a lot of the history of Dodgers Yankees. Steve Fezzik texts in. This is World Series. I mean, this matchup means a lot to people. Steve Fezzik saying that his father grew up in Brooklyn. The Dodgers always getting owned by the Yankees, of course, despite having a great team. The 55 Brooklyn team, which I mentioned, was the one that finally reversed it. They got their one and only championship in Brooklyn in 1955. And his dad said now they got the monkey off the back. The next year they met in the World Series again. Brooklyn was up 2-0, and the Yankees crushed him after that, I believe. But he recommends, Steve does, The Boys of Summer, the book, which goes through a lot of the history of the Dodgers and the Yankees. And, of course, the Giants, if you don't know the history, the Giants and the Dodgers moved from New York. So the Giants were the New York Giants, obviously the Dodgers were the Brooklyn Dodgers. They both had to move together to the West Coast to make it work because you couldn't just have one franchise go there for travel.
Yeah.
So they both moved at the same time. And I believe it was 1954. Am I wrong? Well, I'm getting my years messed up because they were 1958.
I only
1958.
Laugh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I only laugh when you ask me this stuff because Gil, whatever Gil thinks it is, 98% of the time he's right.
And no, it didn't make sense. They won in Brooklyn in 55. So it's 58 when both the Giants and the Dodgers traveled.
Real quick, guys. Schreiber, hit me with his first name again.
Liv.
I have no idea if I've gotten that right or wrong a million times in the past.
I'm sure it's Liv.
I think I always went Leave. But, like, I have no idea. Brian, we're taking earmuffs if you're back there. Earmuffs.
And then Michael Burns, real quick. Yankees fan in St. Louis, he says he is. Hope you and Jason are wrong about the World Series. Yeah, let me just finish that thought before we get to Will, which is, because I didn't really get to, why I also think, I think the break, again, really helps the Dodgers just because things tend to regress to your main performance over the course of 162 games. So, again, there have been outlying performances by both the Yankees and the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are able, even if those regress for the Dodgers, they're so deep offensively that it ultimately will get washed away. Whereas with the Yankees, it's like, no, they need Gleyber Torres to get on base like he has been. They need Anthony Volpe to do that. They need Giancarlo Stanton to stay red hot. Now, true that Aaron Judge hasn't been good and he could revert to the good. So there is that as well. But I'm just saying the margin of error for the Yankees is that much slimmer than it is for the Dodgers. And I just want to say this about the Yankees pitching. They have the best pitcher on paper in Gerrit Cole. But Gerrit Cole in this postseason has allowed at least six hits in each of his, you know, three starts. He's not as sharp as he, you know, as prime, you know, highest achieving Gerrit Cole. Carlos Rodon is also, I don't trust him in a big game situation. I know he's been good of late. Is this the Giants version of Rodon in other words? I don't know that it is. And then their bullpen, can Canely still get away with throwing changeup after changeup to a really patient Dodgers lineup? Will Weaver Still be playing great. Holmes and Hill obviously in there as well. And then the Dodgers, I mean, they're relievers. I get it. That's only Flaherty, Yamamoto, and Buehler are their starters. So ultimately, they will have to have at least a bullpen game in there. But it's, again, Hudson and Banda and Kopech and Phillips and Trinan, of course, Kasperius, Brazier, Honeywell, Enriquez, Knack. I mean, it's just it's from everywhere. So the Yankees' path is to get to that starting pitching early, to me, and to be able to face that bullpen so many times early that by the time they get to games 4 and 5, they've seen them so many times they can exploit it. I just think the Dodgers -124 is the better betting proposition. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Will Hill joins us to tell me everything I'm wrong about in this series. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Not The Will Hill. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? I'm so excited for this series. It's man, I had bets on Yankees Mets, so I'm disappointed in that. But uniforms, the tradition, all of the star power, both coasts. I mean, I can't remember a World Series being this big. I'd have to go back to, man, I don't even know when. It's just it's so exciting. I did miss having the baseball yesterday too, because you know when you get wrapped up in your team and just anyone having a run, you know every game's the biggest game, every inning's the biggest inning, and it just there was definitely a little of a lull, a little withdrawal. Not having it last night, and we still got a few more nights without it, but I'm so excited for this.
I can answer that question. Giants-Rangers 2010, Will, is obviously the biggest one in the past, before now, clearly, when the Giants finally won in San Francisco. How do you see this? You're a Yankees guy here, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, not here. I was very confident they'd make the World Series. I thought the bracket broke well for them. No Baltimore, no Houston. I think the AL Central, these teams, talked about it last week, got propped up a little bit by beating up on the White Sox. I thought this broke really well for the Yankees. And give them credit. I mean, guys that, you know, Yankee fans, you know, been punching bags, Torres, not as much Volpe, but Verdugo. These guys gave him decent contributions.
Yes, Stan
was incredible. He is a made man as a Yankee. He's going to, you know, get cheered the rest of his life at Yankees Old Timers Day. I just don't know. The combination of the starters not being good enough, the pitching, and not going deep enough and not having enough reliable options out of the bullpen, I think it becomes a math problem where, all right, how are you going to get 27 outs out of this team against this lineup? I'll go Dodgers, torn between 6 and 7. I'll go Dodgers in 7. I'll say, and I think it's been a while since we've gotten a seventh game of the World Series, just top of my head, maybe 2017 Astros Dodgers. So I'll go Dodgers in 7. I just think they're a more complete team. I'd love to be wrong, but I think the Dodgers are better.
Well, you have it going 7. That's longer than I do, for sure. What's interesting, you also bring up a point. What I'm, you know, just anecdotally just reading preview articles about all this stuff, it's a lot of skew to the Yankees. And you just hit on something that also gets missed, which is you just think about the competition. Let's say you landed on baseball in the postseason. The Yankees got by the Royals and the Guardians.
Yes.
The Dodgers, the game that really save their season was a bullpen game in game 4 against the Padres, who up until that point, everybody was already penciling them in as the World Series champs. They beat the Padres. Then they beat the Mets, who were just riding the wave of glory. And so this is a step up in competition for the Yankees in a sense.
This is 2 steps up in competition. Yeah. This is night and day from what they face. And like the Yankee bullpen, it's not like they were lights out against Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, they had to put out fire after fire. No lead was safe in those games. What, 3, 4, 5, they actually pitched better. But they even, I thought game 4 got lucky because it'll get lost. But they were up 2 runs that Friday night game. And man, what a 3-game stretch that was, Yankees Guardians, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just great game after great game. Can't call it an all-time great series because it only went 5 games. But Lane Thomas should have walked leading off that game 4 in the bottom of the ninth. The next 2 guys got on base. That was a bad call on the strike 3 on a full count. If they call that a ball, who knows what happens from that point forward. But they couldn't put out fires against Cleveland. Now you're going to have to do this against the Dodgers. I just don't think they have enough options out of the bullpen. I don't think their starters go long enough. Maybe Nestor Cortez comes back and gives them something that would help. I don't know how you're getting 27 outs and beating this team. They're going to need, you hit on it, they're going to need Judge to be regular season Judge, where you know he gets to the point where you can't even pitch to him, where he hits you know 5 or 6 homers in the series and just carries them. I mean, look, the Yankees could obviously win. It's not a mismatch, but
baseball.
I do think the Dodgers are a better team. Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any bet in game 1 or are you staying off that?
Have not played. I have Yankees futures. I'm just going to ride those out. I'll probably hedge because I do think the Dodgers are the right side here.
Okay. I didn't expect that. We'll see which way Paul Sporer goes a little later on the show. I think Borchardt is on the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't we get that sense from him?
I don't know for sure. I don't want to speak for him. But he had made the comment, I know because it rang a bell in my ears, about he liked them in the World Series futures market at the time when we talked to him last week.
He just had it priced closer than it is,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I think non-Dodger fan Jason Weingarten is going to be on the Dodgers, not non-Dodger fan.
I said that last segment. I'm like, you just want you to know he's not a Dodgers fan at all. He also has the Dodgers in a sweep at 14-1. I took the Dodgers in 5 at 6-1. All right. Beyond baseball, NFL, what do you love best this week?
Not a lot yet. Fez texted me about this, and I think it's a good play. Miami's -148, the Dolphins at DraftKings. It looks like they're going to get Tua back. They're playing the Cardinals. Cardinals on the road, short week. You can lay the 3, or you can just take the cheap money line at 148. I think that's a good play. That's the only one I bet so far. As far as awards, you guys were just talking about it. I think Goff at +850 is still a little long. Now, they have a tough schedule, but they sort of wrestled control away in that division against the Vikings the other day, and Minnesota had a chance, you know, up one with the ball to not put the division away, but to land a huge blow and be up 2 with a tiebreaker with an easier schedule. If Detroit wins that division with the numbers Goff is putting up, I think Goff is very live at +850. So those are the NFL ones. And I do have an NBA bet. I don't think you're expecting
no,
this, but I do have an
NBA bet. Stop it. Come on.
Now, let's go, Wilhelm.
Just to give my credentials, I was on here during the summer, gave out Clippers under 41.5 wins. I pounded the table for that. I think it's down to 36.5. Shocker. Kawhi's not going to be going to be ready for the start of the season.
What?
Charlotte Hornets, 55-1 to win the division. I think Miller, LaMelo, there's potential for, you know, 2 all-stars there. If LaMelo can stay healthy, that's a division with, you know, the Heat, the Hawks, the Magic. I think I'm high on the Charlotte team. I think they can make a run here.
It's a gross division, Will. I'm with you. It's wide open. It's wide open. I think Magic, Heat, Hawks are all they're all vulnerable for sure.
We always make the joke about the Southeast division in basketball as like, you know how people wear the SEC hats.
Yes.
Have you ever seen anybody wear a Southeast division hat in the NBA? Again, the Hornets, Wizards, Magic, Heat, and Hawks. So you got at 55-1 on the Hornets, huh? Okay.
Yes. Big Hornets fan here this year.
Okay. Will Hill, everybody. Again, the only thing with Goff, the only pushback I ever give is the Cleve TA pushback, which is he put up all these amazing stats last year, and he didn't even sniff it, right? He finished like 5th last year or something like that. So you wonder if that thinking changes. I don't know.
I think the narrative is flipped on him where, you know, he used to be he's a system quarterback. It's McVay. Goff played really well the other day. Goff's a good quarterback. I think he's underrated.
I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Kelly's NBA season longs on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for some action, our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Don Johnson, not sure if it's that Don Johnson, says, fun fact, there are more episodes of MASH than there are days of the Korean War.
Wow.
Okay. There you go. There's a little factoid. Thank you for that. Ryan Hyatt agree with Gill that this Dodgers-Yankees matchup will be meaningful for lots of MLB fans. I really think if youngish Charlie Huff can handle Reggie Jackson, the Dodgers have a great chance. Jamie Leva, wishing I could hear the late, great Vin Scully say it's time for Dodgers baseball. He was an American sportscaster. Kelly, looking sharp, boys. Have a great day. Yeah. Thank you for that. And then Shades of Mako says, if you're going to do NBA futures, Wemby, lead the league in steals, 30-1. Quadruple double in any regular season game, 14-1. 15-plus blocks in any regular season game, 12-1. 8-plus steals any regular season game, 9-1. He says, I grabbed these a few weeks ago at Caesars.
Wow.
He said.
Yeah. I think I like the lead the league in steals one the best, actually.
Pretty interesting. Wembanyama, who of course will be the defensive player of the year, and everyone that will act like last year, you know, the reasons they gave for not voting him for last year will not exist this year if the Spurs stink again. Yeah. No one will mention a word, and none of us will still be able to cash last year's ticket.
I can't. Those are interesting. I haven't seen these go. Those last the 15 plus blocks, 8 plus steals. I can't argue against it.
Oh, of course not.
I do think like Wemby got close with the quadruple double a couple times last season. Like 14-1. I don't hate that at all. And then lead league in steals. That's a long number. He could get there.
Can I make one correction before we get to your NBA thoughts? Sure. So one correction. I mentioned I was talking about Jared Goff and Will liked him at +850. And I sort of said at the end, I was like, yeah, but, you know, he got all these stats last year and didn't even, you know, what did I say? He finished 5th. He didn't finish 5th. He didn't get a single vote.
Yeah.
He didn't get a single vote last year. And I lost where the stats are.
And the MVP, we go 1 through 5 too, right?
Yeah, no, MVP, you go further down. I mean, we see all the voting. I see all the voting. And it's 10 players deep.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you go 1 through 5 in terms of the voting. But it's 10 players deep. Myles Garrett being 10th with 1 5th place vote, and that's it. Jared Goff didn't get a single vote 1 through 5. And Jared Goff last year, Detroit won 12 games. He finished 2nd in the NFL in yards and 5th in touchdowns. So I get it. I like the Lions. I think the Lions are probably my number 3 power ranked team. I think Jared Goff is great. But how do you reconcile those two things? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I kind of like I hinted at with or just said with Coach of the Year. I think both of these markets are now at an interesting point, though, where there's value on the board. I just can't tell you where, Gil. Like, yeah. I just don't think Mahomes belongs up there with those other names. I think you can make a case. I think you can make a case for Goff. You can make a case for Allen. You can make a case for Lamar. Just don't know. You want to bet Lamar now at plus 225. I think we'll see that come back a little bit at some point.
All right. Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen, loves his NBA. He also has thoughts on other sports, but he loves, maybe you love the NBA more than anything in the world. Sports world?
Betting-wise.
Yeah.
Betting-wise, for sure, yeah. I mean, I don't like the NFL. Don't we all? Like, I love the NFL the most, just to watch.
Can I just ask you about the Knicks first before we get into your thoughts?
Yeah.
What is your take on the Knicks?
Drew had
them firmly at number 2 in the Eastern Conference.
Surprises me a bit. I think the Knicks and 76ers are both coming into the season a little overvalued, and I just don't know. We ran out of time. I was going to ask Drew. Just some of these preseason issues we've seen with the Knicks are very interesting. Bridges is trying out a new jump shot, new shooting form.
I heard about that, Mikal Bridges.
He's like 2 for 19 or something from 3 in the preseason.
Well, 2 for 19 today, 3 for 19 tomorrow, Kelly.
That one I'm very interested in, and I think Drew hinted at it, but like they don't have a ton of depth now. You've had the Bridges shooting issues in the preseason.
How about a professional basketball player changing his shooting stroke as a pro?
Yes.
This is not Cal Ripken changing his batting stance 100 times.
You don't see this.
No.
Yeah, you don't really see this.
No.
And then, like, Josh Hart, this was just a couple days ago, openly wondering to the media, like, he doesn't really know what his role is with this team and where exactly he fits. Now, I think that's kind of always been a Josh Hart, like, thing with this team. And his role really got solidified at the end of the season when they kind of ran out of players and he was more leaned on anyways. I think he's an interesting sixth man of the year candidate, too, though, because he's likely going to come off the bench, I think, is what this rotation ends up developing into. Just something to keep your eye on. That game, you know, 2 games tonight, they are playing Celtics. Celtics right now laying 5.5 in that game. I don't have any bets in either of the ones tonight. I can hit my ones for tomorrow here quick, but I'm interested in a Bridges under. I mean, under on his point prop. Just okay. If you're telling me you changed your shot.
Yeah.
You performed that poorly in the preseason. I don't really know that we should be expecting a 30-point game out of Mikal Bridges tonight by any means. So
just in any level of basketball you've ever played or got coached in, like, unless someone had such a funky delivery that a coach had to step in and like completely rearrange it, you know, and someone who wasn't, you know, a decent offensive player to begin with at whatever level, like, you don't hear about this.
No,
ever.
You don't. And I don't know to what extent, right?
Yeah.
Right, Gil, like, before people, you know, crush me on Twitter, like, he's tinkering with his jump shot, though. This isn't, it's something. So I don't know. That's kind of all I got tonight. Lakers and then Timberwolves is your nightcap. Lakers, a 1-point home dog, 221, 221 and a half. Nothing for me there. Real quick, I'll hit just game bets for tomorrow that I did make. A lot of these have moved, though. I've been betting these kind of the past couple months. I'm on the Bucks tomorrow against the 76ers. I took that at plus 3.5, but guess what, Gil? I bet it as soon as it looked like Paul George wasn't going to play tomorrow, but now Chris Middleton's not going to play for the Bucks, so we're kind of right back where we started from on that game. And then the other bets that I made, I laid, this is the NBA injury stuff before the season's even begun. It's comical. Anybody who's not an NBA fan who wants to make fun of this stuff, I can't defend it. Like, the amount of guys that are injured as we're entering the season is staggering. Cavaliers, this is another one I laid 4.5 a couple weeks ago. Max Strus hurts himself in practice the other day. He's going to miss some time. That's big for the Cavs. And then the other one, Suns. I laid 3.5. It's 4.5 right now. I'd still be laying it. No Kawhi Leonard there tomorrow night in L.A. For the Clippers. That is big. It's James Harden's show basically right now with the Clippers. I'll lay points on the road with the Suns. And then I bet I just made last night Thunder on Thursday catching 2.5 in Denver against the Nuggets.
Okay. You have a bunch of season wins. Not one, but 7 season wins. 2 of them are actually involving one team because you do an alternate season win.
Yep.
Let's start with the Thunder.
Yeah, Thunder. Look, love it. With them adding Caruso and Hartenstein, you added 2 top 5 defensive players from a year ago. You added size with Hartenstein. This is going to be one of the best perimeter defensive teams we've seen in a while, and that is one of the most important things in the NBA and one of the toughest things to judge. This is kind of where we talk about, Bam Adebayo not getting any love for defensive player of the year because he can guard 1 through 5. It's really important, but that guard being able to switch positions and guard out on the perimeter doesn't get you as much love. But Shea's an excellent perimeter defender. He's like the 5th, 6th best defender on that team now. And I think it's very scary, the idea of, we always give stars a break for not playing defense because of how much they've got to do offensively. The idea that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander this year might not need to defend at as high as level because he can concentrate more on scoring, I think that's a scary thought if you're entering the season playing against the Thunder. So I am over on them. I do think they are the best team in the Western Conference. I have them pretty far clear of anybody else, actually, in the West. Other win total bets I made, Bucks over 49.5. Look, they finished with 49 last year. The Middleton stuff's a killer. Was really hoping this team was going to be able to come in with all 3 of those guys healthy. I think we see a completely different Bucks team in year 2 with Damian Lillard, though. It's been pretty well documented by now, these struggles he went through last year just with the move and kind of some personal stuff, off the court stuff last year in Milwaukee. I think year 2 with him more focused on basketball, just basketball in Milwaukee, playing alongside Giannis, who once again had an incredible MVP-like season last year, 30-11 with over 60% from the field. He's going to keep doing it. I think we're really going to see the team that we thought we were going to get last year, and you're getting them at a discount now from what that win total was a year ago. So I'm over on the Bucks. Hornets, we've brought this up a couple times. JVT, Zach, and I all over on the Hornets. Drew not as excited about that. He did tell us that off the air. He's not quite as excited about the Hornets, but he's got some other love in the very popular Southeast Division, your favorite division of the NBA.
Hornets was the one thing he said he listened to you guys. He's like, I can't quite get there.
Yeah. I mean, look, the LaMelo stuff's interesting. That's another one we talk about changing a jump shot. LaMelo wearing heavy ankle braces. Okay, it's either going to protect his ankles or it sounds like something that might be uncomfortable for a guy that's trying to move a lot, right? We're going to have to see how that plays out. Look, the Nets and Wizards, I think, these are those situations we get, Gil, where like the Patriots in the NFL. They have no incentive to win this year. There is Cooper Flagg sitting out there. Their rosters are bad. The Wizards' roster is worse than the Nets, but the Nets, I think, are going to move a lot of these pieces by the time we get close to trade deadline. There are a few attractive pieces for championship contenders to add, so I played under 19.5 on them. And then the only one I added after hearing some of this, Joel Embiid not going to play back-to-backs, and Paul George missing time, is I went Sixers under 51 wins. I think this team might be a little overrated heading into the season.
Kevin Garnett said the assignment is 82 games. Joel, he didn't say Joel at the end, but that's what he meant to say. We'll get to your individual awards after we talk to Paul Sporer on the World Series. That's on the other side, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, right here on the numbers game. We interrupt the Kelly Bidlin NBA season longs to talk a little World Series, the 12th meeting, as we established earlier on the show, between the Yankees and the Dodgers, extending all the way back into the 1940s in terms of their World Series matchups, when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn and the Yankees were in New York before both teams moved out west together. Paul Sporer joins us to discuss the World Series, all his thoughts, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at Sporer, Sporer. He's from FanGraphs. Sleeper in the Bus is the name of the podcast. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing pretty well, Gil. How are you?
Good. Devil Rays sweatshirt. In honor of the Yankees-Dodgers World Series, Paul has decided to wear his Tampa Bay Devil Rays sweatshirt today.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Yeah, I'm not wearing gear for either, but I'm pretty intrigued by this series. It was one of those things where I was definitely rooting for both of the other teams, Mets and guards, you know, to kind of go against the big empires there. But the downside of it, quote unquote, would be that we would get this series filled with gobs of star power. And I'm just not upset about it as a neutral observer. Sorry, Mets fans, sorry, guards fans, but this is still pretty amazing.
You know what? I'm so glad you said it that way, because that exactly captures my feeling. None of my bets had to do with the Yankees and Dodgers, right? So I lost all those. Mm-hmm. I rooted actively against both. But now that it's here, it's exactly what you said, right? Five MVPs who actively play, a sixth in Clayton Kershaw, who's on the injured list. Multiple World Series. You have the most World Series matchups ever between these two teams. So it's baseball history continued. First one since 1981. And what can you say? It's fantastic that we get to see this now. And so I'm curious, you know, the betting line on this. I got the Dodgers at -124. Right now I'm seeing the Dodgers as high as -135 with the Yankees +115 on the comeback. We're showing -130 +110. Oh, that's for game one though, isn't that for Friday? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the game one line that we're showing. What are your thoughts on the series in general? Who you got?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning with the numbers there toward the Dodgers. Now, it is a situation where if this keeps growing, I might inch toward the Yankees because I do think it is close. I really do. I don't have a great separation here. So I am definitely letting the number that I can find kind of dictate where I go, as opposed to having a hard lean and then shopping around for my team. Because again, this is a really good matchup. And it's always nice, by the way, when baseball can kind of get the national stage. I don't usually get too concerned about whether or not nationally it's doing well, but this is an opportunity for that. So I am excited to see that. I just hope we get a lot of games. The pitching is going to be interesting, right? Because the Dodgers are still kind of, you know, we heard about the Tigers and they called it pitching chaos. And it was kind of a thing, even though they weren't doing anything necessarily new. This opener and bullpen game stuff is not new, but they were kind of making a thing of it. Well, the Dodgers did it and they got all the way here with it essentially, right? Because they only have really Flaherty that they can rely on. And then I know Buehler stepped up for a great start, but going into the playoffs, you were trusting him for 3-4 innings. Yamamoto was kind of a wild card too. So they've kind of made this pitching chaos thing work. I think where the Yankees can win though is their starting pitching. If it can really come through for them, if Cole can be a true on ace, if Rodon can get into his ace bag that we've seen before. And I understand that being an ace these days in playoff baseball is going like 6 innings. So you don't have to go the distance or anything. But I do think if Cole, Rodon, and one of Schmidt and Heel can consistently go deep into the game, that's going to give the Yankees an opportunity to really sneak some games here. So again, my lean is toward the Dodgers, but as this number keeps rising, there is a tipping point where I think I'm going to start to get in on the Dodgers. It's probably going to be closer to the 115 plus range, which I haven't seen that much yet. But as you mentioned, the Dodgers are moving and moving. So I think by Friday, if I see something at 115 on Yankees, that's where I'll probably end up going. But right now I am Dodgers.
Yankees could also get a Nestor Cortez boost here. Boost in quotes. We'll see if it is.
Which would be nice.
Which would be nice for them. Because right now, again, their bullpen, as you alluded to, is really a four, right? It's Canely, it's Holmes, it's Hill, and it's Weaver, right?
Right.
So they could use another arm. I agree. I think I agree with everything you're saying, which is, again, it's consistent with what I was saying before, which is, the reason I'm betting the Dodgers is because the margin of error for the Yankees is much slimmer. They've got to, exactly what you said, for them to win. The path for them to win is they've got to get great Gerrit Cole. They've got to get the good side of Carlos Rodon. Those are big ifs, right? Both of those things are big ifs, because even if Cole is like, you know, somewhat good Gerrit Cole, that's not good enough here.
No, they need ace Cole.
They need ace Cole. And then there is just what I was saying before was the Volpes and the Torreses of the world who have been getting on base. If they stop doing that, I don't even care if Judge goes crazy all of a sudden, because the likelihood, again, that's why I was saying earlier, Paul, I think the break really kind of helps the Dodgers, because I think it's more likely that the Yankees players who have outperformed regress back to the mean. Obviously Judge would regress forward.
Yes, yes.
But in the case of the guys who are getting on base, who have been wonderful for the Yankees. But I'm just saying, in the case of the Dodgers, if Tommy Edman reverts back to the norm, or, you know, if Kike doesn't perform, or if Teoscar can't get it going, they still have so many players, right? It's never ending with them.
No, it really is kind of an endless barrage of guys that they have. And yes, you do kind of end up looking at the Yankees as kind of a big two coming in. And then Stanton has put himself in there by being playoff Stanton. We didn't know if he was necessarily going to be that guy, but he has been. So now it's kind of given him a three towers approach there with Judge, Stanton, and Soto. The problem is, you mentioned, though, if those guys aren't getting on base ahead of them and around them, these are solo shots instead of damaging multi-run homers, right? Because it's still going to come down to homers. Bottom line, we know that. That's playoff baseball these days, is the quick strike offense with quality pitching. Can you put up zeros on the board and then throw up a multi-run inning yourself, usually via the home run? And so they're going to have to do that. I agree that it does favor the depth of the Dodgers right now, and that's why we lean there. But you push the number too far, it's not a Dodgers over anything situation right now. And that's why you got to stay monitoring these numbers for the next 2-3 days.
Yeah. And it is baseball and anything can happen. And if the Yankees are able to perform as they have been offensively in the postseason, and they get those good pitching performances, and they can face that Dodgers bullpen a lot early, and therefore it'll be like the third time they face these guys in Game 4, Game 5. Then the Yankees, that's their path. That's their path.
Did you see the chart about the usage of the Dodgers bullpen against the Mets and how they were not letting the best guys face their stud pitchers multiple times?
Yes.
Because we were hearing that about the like repeat effect. And we did see that, I think, with the Guardians, because Cade Smith was coming out first every time. And I have no problem with that, by the way. This is not a critique of Vogt, but it did create this effect where all the Yankees guys were consistently seeing the best of the best out of the Guardians bullpen. And then, like I said, MLB Now on MLB Network, Brian Kenny's show, had an amazing chart that showed that only two of the Mets good guys had faced one of the good relievers more than once. And it was only twice. So they masterfully did that. But if you jump into that bullpen more often in a 7-game set,
that's right,
you can create those repeat accounts that Judge is seeing Kopech multiple times, that Soto is seeing Kopech and Vessia multiple times, things like that. So it is going to be key to get into that bullpen early. I know we know bullpens are very strong these days, so it's not the same way it used to be where it was like, get in the bullpen, those are the worst pitchers. You do still want to get in the bullpen, though, because having 4 or 5 guys execute at their peak every single day is tough. So when you are consistently running through the bullpens, it is still a good strategy. It's just a bit different than back in the day when you wanted to get the starter out because the bullpen players were much worse. They're good now, but repeat exposure is the way to actually get to these bullpens.
Yeah, and the Dodgers figured that out not only against the Mets, but also against the Padres, if I'm not mistaken. The Padres also didn't face a relievers multiple times. And because when we talk, you know, when broadcasters doing baseball games, the context in which we usually talk about that is usually starter through the order the first time, the second time, the third time, and how that deteriorates. Generally speaking, for 98% of the guys, right? It's this graph that you can chart perfectly, you know, downward. But this is probably more important than that, right? This is over a course of a series. So this is like way more important than that.
And it's hard to know exactly what that effect is going to be, too. Like, when is that third plate appearance against Kopech going to come for Judge? Is it Game 6, 2 on, bot 9? And now he's keyed in on something and he can hit this magical homer. Or is it when it's 5-0? In Game 5, Dodgers are winning and they don't care that Judge is seeing Kopech for a third time. So it is going to be really interesting to see how those key relievers, not any reliever, but the key relievers for the Dodgers, how often are they facing specifically Judge, Soto, and Stanton right now, or anybody else who crops up for the Yankees team.
Any thought for World Series MVP before you go?
I definitely want to go off the board here. I know Shohei and Judge are the obvious, you know, guys, but give me somebody like a Teoscar. He's got that electric power. He hits 2-3 homers. I think he could get it. Maybe even a sneaky Cole there at 25-1. I really think he steps up here. I think Cole is a bona fide ace. He's getting older, though. This is his time to really kind of seal. Here's my big playoff, my World Series performance, to kind of put the cap on what's not cap like he's done, but to kind of put that piece in place in his career. Cause we haven't really seen that yet from Gerrit Cole, like a completely masterful World Series. So I think he's an interesting one. I like Cole for the Yankees and Teoscar for the Dodgers.
My eyes keep going to Mookie at 9-1, Paul.
I'm totally down for that too. Cause Mookie's a god and we know how he can totally turn around a series. So that's a good one too.
Enjoy, man. I think you characterized it perfectly. We didn't want this. And now that it's here, pretty darn cool.
Enjoy it. It's superstar power. Baseball on the national stage. Let's get it. Take care, Gil.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. We've got to wait till Friday, though, for this to begin again. The World Series coming up end of the week. Kelly continuing with his basketball plays next.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up top of the hour after A Numbers Game, Money Moves with Patrick Maher and Jeff Schwartz today from noon to 2 Eastern. Why Patrick and Jeff? Why not Stormy? Because Stormy's doing the Golden Knights game tonight. It is a NHL frenzy.
Yeah, this is like the staggered start thing, I think, right? That the NBA does.
They got a couple face-offs every. What do they got? Like basically every 15 minutes, they got a face-off tonight at the NHL. So Stormy will be doing a night's game after Money Moves with Patrick and Jeff. It's going to be prop points with John Hansen. He's on fire with his props from 2 to 3, and then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4. Right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And now it's time to review our GBank bets of the day. GBank, the official bet. Official bank, I should say, of VSiN. And we got a bunch, starting with me. Once again, if you missed it, I'm on the Dodgers -124 to win the World Series against the New York Yankees. I also got the Dodgers 4-1 exact result at 6-1. And I added, just after that segment, I added Mookie Betts 9-1 to win MVP and Teoscar Hernandez at 24-1. You could probably get a better number than 24-1 was the one I just sort of found hastily.
Yeah,
on Teoscar.
We were talking about it off air. That was when I was typing up those odds this morning. I was like, Teoscar Hernandez, this long? I'm like, all I need is a couple home runs and a couple other people to struggle, and this is really live and near 30-1.
Yeah, there are more, though. More best bets of the day, however. Drew Dinsick had a whole bunch. Kelly, you had a whole bunch. Kelly, you got the Cavs -4.5 against the what is that, tomorrow night?
Yeah, these are all tomorrow night. Cavs laid 4.5, Bucks catching 3.5. You just had Paul George and Joel Embiid ruled out for that game, It is the Bucks laying 3.5 now, is
nice
what that
job.
Line is. Suns laying 3.5, and then Thunder catching 2.5. That game is on Thursday in Denver.
Okay. Drew has a whole bunch. So does Will. Will has a better two as well. These are Will's. Dolphins on the money line this weekend. And he's still stumping for Jared Goff, MVP, +850. He still likes it. And then Drew had a bevy of picks. Am I allowed to use the word bevy?
Yeah, he had one NFL bet.
One NFL, which was the Rams on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. He's taking the points against the Vikings on Thursday night. And then he had a list of NBA plays. Celtics to win the East. Grizzlies to miss the playoffs. He had the Pistons to make the play-in tournament at +350. Grizzlies, by the way, to miss +220. Then Grayson Allen to win Sixth Man of the Year. The Phoenix Suns, Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic to win Most Improved. And then back to the Suns with Mike Budenholzer to win Coach of the Year. All from Drew. Those are your best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. The GBank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. And if that weren't enough, Kelly Bidley's got more bets as well, season longs. We didn't even include your season longs in there.
That's right. Yeah. We didn't refresh
our memory on your season wins.
We didn't get through discussing all of them, right?
So, your season wins we did, right?
Yeah, season wins we did. Thunder over, Bucks over, Hornets over, and then Nets under, 76ers under is what I bet on win totals.
That's right. You read that right. Nets under 19.5 wins.
Yep.
So you think they're also going to trade players as well, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is more of a what this team does at the trade deadline. I think there are multiple players that there are some contending teams that will be very interested in. And the Nets will be very interested in giving them away as they try to get in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. I was texting you yesterday. I was watching some video on him. Duke played a preseason game or something against a nothing school. This kid's amazing. It's just... what we've gotten to these days with basketball players and these prospects, he's 6'9", handles like a guard, his best qualities is defense. It's these kids just don't miss anything these days, man.
Start with Wembanyama. You got him an MVP, 40-1.
Yeah, look, this is one you and I, we talked about a lot. We bet this as soon as it got posted. You've got the same ticket, right? 40-1, I think?
I don't know what my number was. I have to check.
I think it's somewhere around there because we bet it right at the same time, so it couldn't move too much. And look, this is at 40-1. It was worth a nibble to me at 20-1 or whatever it is now. Look, probably not. As we talk about a lot with these futures, I mean, we talk about even the NFL season applies way more in the NBA. There's a long way to go, right? You can look for dips in numbers, and I think that is the smartest way to bet these awards and futures probably, is looking for those just throughout the season as you might be able to get longer numbers. We often see the best number that that you're able to get on these guys that end up winning these awards sometime during the season and not prior to the start of it. So I think you can wait. I don't think I would be betting it at 20-1 right now. I think it's an interesting conversation, though. Gil, I've heard a lot of Drew just said it. He thinks he's a little lower than the Spurs on the Spurs than most people. I have heard a lot of different opinions on the Spurs. I think there's a window. If Wemby's as good as we think he can be, and we think he is already, I think there's a window that this team is at least sniffing the play-in. And if they get there, then he's in this MVP conversation. So, bet him at 40-1. And then just two other award bets for me. Not nearly as much. I just liked this offseason to get involved with before the season started. 22-1 on Cade Cunningham. Got a couple tweets yesterday, actually, about this Pistons team. I know Drew's higher on them. I am a little bit higher on them as well, although I also bet an over last year. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. That lost very easily. But I've got him most improved. I think this team, if this team can improve on their win or their records from last year, which they should, Cade Cunningham is going to be one of the biggest reasons why. He's got some better players around him on that team now. I think he's going to continue to fully develop as a next level player. 22-1, I think, is an interesting price on him. And then this was another one of the kind of hardwood handicappers group plays. Me, Zach, and JVT of just saying 100-1, a little long on Shane Goon. He's going to have a heck of a season to kind of improve on the numbers that he had last year. But Wemby's the short shot in the market, and I think you could say the same thing about him. The numbers he'd have to have this year to improve immensely from a year ago to be in that conversation, it's going to have to be a lot. I think Shangoon can do it. I do think Wemby can do it. So 100-1 on Shangoon, I thought was interesting pretty long. It was just kind of JVT started that conversation. I think we all got involved at long odds on Shangoon. So that is everything I'll be rolling into the season with.
All right. And by the way, just to clarify on the Sixers with their respective knee injuries, Paul George will be reevaluated later in the week. Embiid out for the week.
Yeah, I saw that missing Friday. Yeah. They've already ruled him out for Friday. Yes. I really thought he would play, actually. I thought they were kind of playing this up a little bit of the concern with him coming in. But, man, now that you've seen him rolled out for two games, start the immediate concern about Joel Embiid's health and what we're going to see throughout the year. I mean, he's already talked about skipping back-to-backs.
Yeah, I mean, the knee-jerk reaction is to go old man and be like, okay, come on, what kind of player is if he can't play the full season? But we have enough evidence with the Sixers, right, that he always breaks down at the end when he does play a lot. So the only way to proceed with him at this point is like the most caution you can possibly have. So if he ends up playing half a season, you have to almost be okay with it, with the thinking being, okay, then he could get through a postseason run, however long that postseason run is, but the theory being they could get further that way.
Yeah, perfectly said. I mean, I think that is what he's thinking and what the Sixers are thinking. Because what's the point of having this kind of talent if you get to the end of the year and the guy can't play, right? Yeah. And that's the way they're approaching it. He's come out and said MVP, the minimum number of games, all that stuff means nothing to him. Doing stuff in the playoffs is what matters for him this year.
We get tweets, Stickle Fritz picks. What could go wrong with a Knicks team with little depth and a coach who runs everyone into the ground?
it's not like Tibbs relies too heavily on depth. So, I understand that pushback.
And we did have a couple of comments about the whole, change of Mikal Bridges' shooting motion, which I forgot about. You're right. James Sott. I remember Tristan Thompson, who, of course, we didn't think about him, changed the hand he shot from at the free throw line 1 year. So at least the jumper is still the same hand, just different mechanics. But Colin Murphy, the best comp is Colin Murphy says is NBA players changing their shot during their career. Look no further than Markelle Fultz.
That is a perfect one. I just think what's different, though, is Bridges, you're talking about. So what he averaged almost 20 points per game last year. Like, it's a little different. We hear this. I would compare this more to a golfer tinkering with his swing. Like, we'll hear about these, like Victor Hovland was one this year.
Yeah.
Like Victor Hovland, one of the best players in the world. Why are you trying to change your swing just a little to improve on one type of shot, and then his swing completely falls apart for months?
Yeah. Free throws and putts are different than golf swings and jumpers.
Right. And that's what this feels like. It's like, are you doing this to try to just slightly improve? Like, you, it might ruin your whole game. It's a risk. That's quite a risk. I think I'm going to be betting the under on his point total tonight.
Who's in the NBA Finals, Kelly, before we go? Let's get you on record.
Thunder, and not to be boring and to stir the pot, the Milwaukee Bucks with MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Say that name again?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well done. Thunder and Bucks. I didn't expect you. I thought you were going Thunder Celtics.
Yeah, I'm not going to be boring. It's probably Celtics, but, you know.
Thunder Bucks. What's the exacto on that? Or not the exacto, but what's the matchup? So bad.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, get in there.
I do not have to front me right now.
We've done all we can do for Kelly Bidlin, Gil Alexander. Money Moves next. Again, Patrick Maher in for Stormy, along with Jeff Schwartz. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.